Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Thursday morning class at the Yangezhou of Vladimir. So a couple of important announcements. One, this is very important. Next week, there is no shiur. With the permission of Rabbi Shai Schachter, I am not teaching next week, Thursday morning. Please don't come. No shiur. I ask that if you please have friends who usually attend, but they're not here, the Yangezhou of Vladimir is going to be included in the email. The office knows, but not everyone opens the emails, etc. So there's no shiur next week, only 1 week. The week after Be'ezrat Hashem, there is shiur. So that's August the 11th, no shiur. That's one. Number two, this Sunday at 1 o'clock, I will be speaking in the main sanctuary. It's my annual, annual Tisha B'Av shiur. I have an all-new shiur prepared that I have never given or presented or written before. So that is at 1 o'clock on Tisha B'Av. This year it's officially open to men and women. Usually it's only for women and the men always just come in unofficially. It is officially for men and women. This year I'll be speaking at 1, followed by Rabbi Shai Schachter at 2 o'clock. Okay, so please join us. That's, pardon? I can't hear. Rabbi Shai, both shiurim are for men and women. My shiur is for men and women at 1 p.m. And Rabbi Shai Schachter shiur at 2 o'clock is also for men and women. So please join. It's open to everybody. And please tell your friends about that as well. Okay, so those are the two announcements. So, of course, it is we are in the 9 days now. Shabbos itself is actually Tisha B'Av, and we are going to pick up with the same topic that we did the last 2 weeks. If you remember, the first thing that Moshe Rabbeinu says when B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven come and they say, you know, we'd like to stay on this side of the Jordan River, the first word is Ha'acheichem, and that was the point of departure for our 2 1-hour shiurim of last week and the week before. So I want you to please open up to this week's Parsha, which is Sefer Devarim, Parsha Devarim. We're finally caught up to Eretz Yisrael. Everybody reads Devarim. You need a handout as well as a chumash, please. The handout is on the bima. So we're going to look at the very, very end of Parshas Devarim. And you're going to see that Moshe retells about the incident of the B'nai God and the B'nai Reuven. So we saw it in Parshas Matos. And now once again, Moshe Rabbeinu comes and he's... No, it wasn't two parkas. It was a one parkas. Two part was Kavod Abrios. One part was last week, but we're going to continue. Today is going to be part two of Ha'acheicham. Okay? So we saw the request in Perak Lamed Beis of Bamidbar. Moshe begins with the word Ha'acheicham. In this week's parasha, the topic continues. So if you could please open up to Perak Gimel, Pasuk Yud Bet, or to make it easy, page 954 in this Chumash. So what we're doing is going all the way to the end of Parshas Devarim. Okay, so how does Parshas Devarim end, which is this week's Parsha, both here and in Eretz Yisrael? Okay, Perek Gimel Pasuk Yud Bet. Okay, Vasa Aretz Azo Yerashnu Beit Ahi, on this land we inherited at this time. Me Aro Er Al Asher Al Nacha Arnon V'Chatzi Ar Gilad V'Arv Nasati L'Uveini V'Lagadi. So he's talking about the land on the Transjordan, and he says these areas on the Transjordan I have given to the B'nai God and the B'nai Reuven. V'Yaser Hagilad V'Chol Abashon Mamlachas Ognas. We also know that Chatzi Shevet Menashe, which we did not talk about at all last time, which we're going to be speaking about more today. So Chatzi Shevet Menashe was also given a portion. These are the lands. Ya'ir ben Menashe to Cheva Argov. So what these psukim are telling us is the territory that was delineated to the B'nai Reuven, the B'nai God, and the B'nai Menashe to Machir, who is from Menashe to Reuven, to God, the land that I gave them. It continues in Pasuk Yud Zayin. Pasuk Yud Ches tells us. So first we have from Sukkim Yud Beis through Yud Zayin, the land that is delineated to these 2.5 tribes. And then Moshe says, Pasuk Yud Ches, Va'atzaves, once again, in the instructions that Moshe leaves to the B'nai God, Reuven and Chatzi Shevet Menashe, after he says, this is the territory that you will have on the Transjordan, I commanded you at that time, saying, remember, Devarim is Mishneh Torah. That's the appellation. Every book of Chumash has another appellation. Devarim is Mishneh Torah. The word Sheni means two, Mishneh. Sheni, okay, the second time the Torah is given. That's not what it means, but Moshe is reviewing the Torah. So here he's reviewing the negotiations, if you will, with B'nai God and B'nai Reuven. So you're getting this land. However, there's a condition. Chalutzim ta'avru lifnei acheichem b'nei Yisrael kol b'nei chayo, armed. You must go before your brothers, the children of Israel, Everyone who is a warrior, Rak Nesheichem V'Tabchem U'Miknechem Yadati K'Miknechem, he concedes to their request. We have a lot of cattle, your wives and your children and all of your flocks. I know you have a lot of flocks. They should stay here until Hashem causes them to inherit the land. V'Shavtem Ishli U'Shaso Asher Nasati Lechem. And once again, in Pasuk Chaf, Ad Asher Yaniach Hashem La'Acheichem Kachem. So you see there's a strong emphasis once again on this idea of brotherhood. And this is clearly fundamental in Moshe's idea that I am allowing you to stay here, but you cannot lose sight of your brother. So this is how Parshas Devarim ends. So we saw it in Perek Lamed Beis. And now we have it also in Devarim. If you remember from last time, because I stressed it repeatedly, the first word that Moshe says to the Bnei God and the Bnei Reuven is Ha'acheichem yavo la'melchama va'atem teshvu po. Your brother shall go to war and you shall stay here. Here again in the instructions, you see that brothers is of primary focus to Moshe Rabbeinu. So I'll tell you, last Erev Shabbos, I realized something that I could not believe that I didn't think of when I was preparing last time's shiur. So I have to share it with you. It makes so much sense. Besides for everything we learned last time, if you missed the shiur, they go on YU Torah. But besides for everything that we learned last time, there's such a fundamental reason that Moshe Rabbeinu would say first, Ha'acheichem. And here again, he says, I'm letting you stay on the Transjordan, but you must go up Chalutzim Lefnei Acheichem B'nei Yisrael. So there's a handout. Please take your handout. I'm going to screen share for the people on Zoom. Let me just find it. Here it is. Okay, there's an extra hand here. Can you see it says Shemos 2:11 at the top of my screen? Yeah, okay, fine. I can't believe, I sent it to one friend. I sent a voice note to one friend. It was Friday afternoon. I said, I can't believe what I just thought of, and I didn't get to teach it in Thursday class just because it didn't occur to me. The whole class last time is about brother relationships through Al Chumash in different places in Chumash, which would serve as the impetus for Moshe saying Acheichem. But what is the first thing we know in Chumash about Moshe Rabbeinu? Not the passive part, when we first meet him, Perek Beis of Shmos, Psukim Aleph through Yod. At that case, he's not doing anything. He's being acted upon by his mother, by his sister, by Bas Paro, by the Hebrew wet nurse. So Psukim Aleph through Yod in Sefer Shmos, Perek Beis, do not tell us anything about Moshe Rabbeinu. They tell us about people who did things to or for Moshe Rabbeinu. What's the first thing we know about Moshe Rabbeinu? If you could please look on your handout. It's the first source. There's an extra one here if anybody needs. I took it, but I don't need it because I'm screen sharing for Zoom. So Shemos, Perek Beis, Pasuk Giraf. The Pasuk right before this is, Vativiehu lebab paro, Vatihilo leben, Vatikro shmo Moshe, Kimin hamayim mishisi. Okay, that's Perek Beis, Pasuk Yod. And then the very next Pasuk, it wasn't those days. Vayigdal Moshe, Moshe grew up. That's telling us that he grew up, like the whole world grows up. So what's the first thing you know about Moshe and Chumash? The first thing. Vayetze alachav. Could you imagine the first thing the Torah tells you about this leader? Is he went out to his brothers. Vayar b'sivlosam, he sees their affliction. Vayar ish mitzri ma ke ish ivri me'achav. It's very important when you meet someone, first impressions are lasting. So what is the first thing the Torah feels we need to know about Moshe Rabbeinu? He is a man who goes out to share in the suffering of his brothers. This was by choice. He was 20 years old at the time, or the Medrash, which we're going to look at now. So I skipped the beginning of the Medrash because I have so much material to do with you today, but the Medrash begins by saying he was 20 years old and some say he was 40 years old. According to the Ramban, also, he was 20 years old. He lived a life of comfort and pleasure, prestige and privilege. Until the age of 3, let's say, when his milk mother brought him to Bas Paro, let's say, at the age of 3, until he's 20, everything is wonderful. And all of a sudden, he grows up and he realizes, my brothers are suffering in the field. And it is not a coincidence, because I say it 1,000 times, that nothing in the Chumash is a coincidence, that literally the first thing you know about Moshe as an active personality is, Vayetze al Echav. No wonder. The first thing he says to the B'nai God and the B'nai Reuven is, Ha'acheichem. More than how could you reject Eretz Yisrael, which comes after. More than this is God's promised land. The first and instinctive, almost built in with him reaction is, what about your brother? So let's look at Medrash Shmos Rabba, which is the next source on your hand. The Vayar b'Sivlosam, he saw their affliction. Medrash Shmos Rabba, Parsha Aleph Simen Chav Zayin. Mahu Vayar, Shahaya Ro'eh b'Sivlosam Uboche. He saw their affliction, he saw their pain and their suffering, and he was crying. But Omer Chavali Aleichem, oh my gosh, I feel so bad. Mi Yitein Mosi Aleichem, would that I be able to die for you? And I saw in the Medrash Arz Karaba elucidated, which is beautiful because there's many insights and notes on the bottom, that the Radal says Bisivlosem can be read Bisivlo Mace. The last two letters can be switched around to read mate. Bisivlo mate. Would that I die for your suffering? He felt so much rachamim and pain over them. He said, I want to die for you. She'enecha melacha kasha mimelachas hatid. There is nothing harder than the work of clay. So what did he used to do? We imagine he dressed in some kind of princely robe and he had three hot meals a day and they would warm water to put in some kind of bathtub. It was the most advanced culture in the world. And nevertheless, v'haya nosein k'tefav u'misaye l'chol achar v'achar men. He would give them his shoulder, and he would help each and every one of the slaves. Rabbi Elazar ben Osher, Rabbi Yossi Aglidi, Omer Ra'a Masoi Gadol, Masoi Katan al Gadol, Rashi quotes on Chumash. They would switch the work. So it's very demeaning. If a person's work is given to someone else and they're given inappropriate work, you lose your purpose. You lose your sense of self. It's a demeaning slave labor to switch the work. So they took the work of the old one, they put it on the young one to the old one, the burden of a man and a woman, the burden of a woman upon a man, the burden of a zakein on a bachur, bachur al zakein. So the ma'aseh, they wanted to take away the individuality and personality and distinctiveness of each person. And Moshe Rabbeinu haya maniach diragon shelo. He put aside his princely stature. V'holeich u'meyashev lahem sivloseihem. He put aside his diragon. I didn't know what that word means, so art school translates as his stature. He was a prince. He was the prince of Egypt. And he went and he helped them in their affliction. And he was very smart. He said to Pharaoh, I'm really helping you. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, sometimes you notice something in Chumash and then you see so many connections that you didn't even, you're nodding yes. It's just so gewaldic that you didn't even realize. So the first thing he says is Acheichem. What I didn't even realize to teach you last time is that the first thing we know about Moshe is Vayetze Alachav. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees his behavior, look what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him. Look in the Medrash. V'osa kilu misayi lepara Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Atahi nachta asakecha V'halachta lirot b'tzaran shal Yisrael. You put aside your princely business and you went to help the people in their affliction. V'nahakta bahen, who's paying attention, who's in the Medrash to me? What's the next words? Minhag achim. You think it's an accent? I can't make this up. I can't make up Torah Shavuktav and I can't make up Torah Shabbat. It's unbelievable. No wonder he says, Ha'acheichem yavolo mechama va'atam teish bufo. The first impressions are lasting. The first thing we know, mamish the first thing. Not his IQ, not that he's going to talk to God panim al panim, not that his face is going to be beaming light, not he's going to sit on Shemayim for 120 days, not eating, not drinking, not that he's going to be the greatest prophet. Lo kam navi so kamosha, sho yad Hashem. B'chol beisi nemanu. That's from two different places, but it doesn't matter. What's the first thing you have to know about Moshe? He went to his brothers, and when God comes to reward him, what does Hashem say to Moshe? What did I notice about you? Nahag to bahen minhag achim. Not minhag chesed, not minhag ahava, not minhag tzedakah. The first thing I see about you is that you treat these Jews like your brothers. Therefore, I will reward you and make you the leader. That's why he was worthy. Continues the Medrash. Ani maniach esha elyonim v'esha tachtonim v'adaber imcha. God said, you put aside your business to treat your brothers like brothers. I'm going to put aside my business, kaviyachal, and the heavenly realms and the lower realms, and I will come speak to you. Like the Pasuk says, Hashem sees kisar liros, by the burning bush, which we spent 4 weeks on, if you remember, with the shoes, right? Hashem sees, he turns to see. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that Moshe turned from his business to see the suffering of the Israelites. Therefore, says the Medrash, Vayikra Elav Elokim Mitoch HaSneh. Why is the whole reason that God chose Moshe Rabbeinu? Minhag Achim. Why Minhag Achim? Vayar b'sivlotzam vayetze al achav. And so, he utterly is horrified by the request of the B'nai God and the B'nai Reuven by stating the words, Achecham yavo'u lamechama. How appropriate, therefore, and we didn't talk about them last time, but today we will. Actually, put your bookmark. No, you don't need a bookmark. We did Dvarim. Turn back to Perek Lamed Beis of Bamidbar, please. When I get there, I'll tell you what pasuk it is. Okay? Lamed Beis. Okay, it starts on page 910. Perek Lamed Beis of Bamidbar. Okay? So the pasuk in question is Hachichem Yavol LaMachama, not really in question, in the spotlight, is Perek Lamed Beis Pasuk Vav. Moshe says to B'nai God, B'nai Reuven, Hachichem Yavol LaMachama. We're understanding much more in depth now today, even more than last time. That's Moshe's knee-jerk reaction, so to speak. If you look in the negotiations, the whole time, all the negotiations are only between B'nai God and B'nai Reuven and Moshe. And it's a big, big kasha. Why B'nai Menashe has anything to do with this narrative at all, and why they're assigned land on the Transjordan. We saw it in Parshas Devar. We saw Moshe says, this is the land that's going to God, this is the land going to the Reuveni, and this is the land that's going to Machir Meb Menashe, Lamata Yosef. Menashe didn't ask for it. Menashe's not involved in this. Menashe did not approach Moshe. Menashe did not say, Mikna Rav Yeshanu. So what is going on here? So if you look, page 914, okay. Paraglamid base, posaglamid base. Okay, no. Paraglamid base, posaglamid aleph. Okay. Lamid base, lamid aleph. Vayanu b'nei gadu b'nei ruvein lemar, eis asher daber Hashem el avdacha kenaza. We agree to the terms and the conditions. Nachnu na'avor chalutzim ifnei Hashem. We will cross over arm before God. Eretz Canaan to the land of Canaan. V'itanu achuzas nachasenu me'evra liyardein. And we're going to take the permanent portion on Evra liyardein. Okay, they agree. And as soon as they agree, v'yitein lehem Moshe livnei God v'livnei Reuven. All of a sudden, in the 33rd pasuk of this story, we are introduced to half of a tribe who seems to have no place here at all. They didn't ask for it. The Lachatzi Shev and Menashe ben Yosef, and you saw it in Parshas Devarim as well. I showed you where the territory is delineated in our Parsha this week. It says that this is what Menashe, Machir ben Menashe, Chavos Ya'ir, this is what they got. Vayitain them Moshe livnei God, velivnei Reuven, velachatzi Shev and Menashe ben Yosef, esmamlecha Sichon melech Harmari, vesmamlecha Sog melech Habashan, arts lareb, igvulas are arts aviv. So Menashe, and it's a big, it's much spoken about, okay? What is Menashe doing here? So, I really could present a shir with three different reasons, and it's a one-hour, very beautiful shir, some of it based on the Rav. But the only nekuda I want to point out today is that Menashe is the first of brothers in history to actually get along. Like Mamish in history, if you go through Sefer Bereishis, the first two brothers to get along were Menashe and Ephraim. There's murder, there's hatred, there's attempted murder, there's abduction, there's kidnapping. I mean, it's quite dramatic what happens between brothers from Brias HaOlam to the end of Sefer Bereishis. The first two brothers who do not display any animosity towards each other and know how to act like brothers is Menashe and Ephraim, and therefore Moshe chooses half of one of these tribes to maintain the brotherly connection. So why half? Because if half is on this side and half is on that side, you will ensure that there's always foot traffic, there's always travel between the families, and it will keep Klal Yisrael together as brothers in brotherhood, which is Moshe Rabbeinu's entire goal. It seems to be based on our understanding, and I'm bringing you many sources, that even more than he's worried about the rejection of the land, he's worried about cutting off ties with brothers. And perhaps that's why he agrees. Once they assure him, Nachnu na'avor chalutzim lefnei b'nei Yisrael, we will cross arms. He agrees. Right away he agrees. Why? Because as long as I know you know your role as brothers, then I am maskim. So if you could look, the next source on your hand, that is the pasuk you just saw inside. Vayitain them Moshe of Knei God, velivnei Reuven, lechatzi Shevim Menashe, ben Yosef. We're in the middle of the third source on page 1. Now, it's also very interesting that it mentions Ben Yosef, okay? Because it's always referencing back to Yosef. But everybody, it's like by the Benot Slavchat. If you look by the Benot Slavchat, it always traces them all the way back to Yosef. Now, the Torah is not redundant, and Hashem did not have too much ink and too much parchment to fill up. So the fact that it references them back to Yosef is also coming to teach you something. So I want to show you something amazing. Okay, look in your Chumash. Nachnu navor chalutzim lifnei Hashem. Lamed beis, Eretz Kenan, v'itanu achuzas nachoseinu me'evro liyardein. Immediately, v'yiten that Moshe livnei God v'livnei Reuven, v'chatz yishev et Menashe ben Yosef. We must rectify the divide that Yosef had with his brothers by remembering how Menashe and Ephraim behaved, and therefore I'm giving half this tribe on this side of the Yarden River, which will ensure continuous flow of traffic between the two sides of the Yarden, connection between Knesset Yisrael, to be misakin for the sin of Vayisnu oso echa, vayikanu bo, v'lo yachlu dabru l'sham. Hine bal ha-chalamas ha-lazabol, nelchu v'nahargenu v'nashlicha al-achar ha-boros. Menashe ben Yosef. Remember what happens when brothers do not have Sheves Achim Gam Yachar. The chicken will be Chatzi Shevet Menashe. So this past Shabbos in Shul, Rabbi Willig, Rabbi Kiva Willig, who I just met outside, I said, oh, I'm going to give Shira, and I'm quoting this. He told over this Baal HaTurim outside. It's a Shabbos Joshua, so like there's no handouts or whatever. But I never heard it before. If I did, I don't remember. And I was very taken by it. And it ties in beautifully to last week and this week's class. So the Pasuk says, Imba Midbar 32:32, Nachnu Na'avar Chalutzim Lifnei Hashem. We will go up armed before Hashem, Eretz Kenan, V'itano Chuzas Nachaseinu Me'ever Liyardin. Our heritage is going to be on this side, but we're going to go up armed before Hashem. Look at the Baal HaTurim. Okay, where am I? In the middle of page one. The Baal HaTurim to Bamidbar 32:32. Nachnu Na'avor Chalutzim. Well, first the Baal HaTurim points out, HaPasuk Matchil U'Misayim Benun. Okay, look, it begins with Nachnu and ends with Yarden. Nun and Nun. The Baal Turim very focuses the Tur, the Rishon. He focuses very much on Shorashim, Roshi Tevos, Sofi Tevos, Gematria. HaPasuk Matchil U'Misayim B'Nun. The Pasuk begins with Nun and ends with Nun. Kvomar, Na'avor HaYarden, Shuhu Rachav Nun Ama. It's an allusion to the fact that Me'ever LaYarden, we are going to cross from this side of the Yarden to the other side of the Yarden River, which is the Rochav, the width of 50 Amos. V'yesh bo Yud, it's supposed to be a base. There are a number of typos that I didn't realize until after I submitted the handout. I'm sorry, it's not Yud Ches, it's Yud Beis. V'yesh bo Yud Bei Tevos, Lomar Shekol Yud Bei Shvatim Ya'avru. There are 12 words to tell you that there are 12 tribes who are going to cross over the Yarden River. Now, what's with this word Nachnu? What would you expect the word to say? Oh, very good. Ad Nachnu. Nachnu is a strange and unusual word for we. So the Baal Turim points out, Nachnu, Shlosha. It appears three times. Nachnu Na'avor, here it says, we will go up armed. The second time is B'nei Ish Echad Nachnu. We are the sons of one father. Nachnu Pashanu Umarinu. So I often say I feel like Hashem prepares the Shurim, because it was Mamish we spoke about last week, but also the third place that Nachnu occurs is in Echa. So Mamish Hashem leads to the source. It ties in so beautifully to last week's share. I realized Erev Shabbos at the first of Kno Bamoshe is Vayetze Al-Achav. And this Baal Turim, when I went to look it up, actually was able to look it up in Shul, because the bottom of the Chumash has the Baal Turim. And I was just very taken by this idea that Nachnu appears here and by the brothers and Yosef. But the Baal Turim gives a third place it appears, which is in Megillas Echa. Nachnu Pashanu Umarinu. We have sinned and rebelled. Nachnu Na'avor Lama. So the Baal Turim says, how do we connect all these three instances of Nachnu? Nachnu Na'avor. B'nai God and B'nai Reuven are saying, we will cross, meaning the Yarden. Lama. Kikulanu B'nai Ish Echad Nachnu. Because we know that we are all brothers. We are all the children of one man. That's why when Moshe hears this, he acquiesces and agrees. Nachnu na'avor chalutzim, ki kulanu b'nei ish achad nachnu, v'im lo, and if we do not keep our word, nachnu pashanu, we will have sinned. Kedichtiv, like the Pasuk says, in Bamidbar, Udu'u chatosechem asher timtza aschem. Moshe says, you're going to know the sin that you have found. So the Baal term here is correct, connecting these three instances of Nachnu. If you look on your handout, I gave you all the psukim. Okay? Bereishis 42:11, towards the bottom of page 1. Bereishis Perek Mem Beis, Perek Mem Aleph, Yosef is appointed as viceroy. He's rushed out of jail, he becomes the king. Perek Mem Beis begins by telling us that Yaakov heard, ki yesh shever b'mitzrayim, redu u'shevru lanu me'at ochal. There's food in Egypt, go get us some food. So this is the first time the brothers and Yosef are meeting each other, and Yosef in Perek Mem Beis is accusing them of being spies. Meragim atem es ervas ha'aretz basim liros, keinim anachnu, they're going back and forth. He says, you're spies, they say we're honest people, we just came to buy food. And then they say, Perek Mem Beis Pasuk Yud Aleph, which is the second last source on page 1 of your handout. Kulanu b'nei ish echad nachnu. So when they use the word nachnu to negotiate with Moshe in Perek Lamed Beis Bamidbar, that's the last verse of negotiation. As soon as they say nachnu, he agrees. And Moshe gives B'nai God, B'nai Reuven, and Chatzi Shevet Menasha, the land on the Transjordan. Because what's the straw that breaks the camel's back, in a good way? What seals the deal? Their allusion to Kulanu B'nai Ish Echad Nachnu. When they understand, when they show Moshe that they understand that all of Klal Yisrael is Achenu B'nai Yisrael, when they show Moshe, we understand we're brothers by using the word Nachnu, which was first used by the Shvatim to Yosef, Moshe realizes their intent is not to split up the nation, and therefore he agrees and assigns B'nai Menasha, half the tribe, Aver Le'Yarden. So they say to Yosef, who they don't know is Yosef, Kulanu B'nai Ish Echad Nachnu. We are all the sons of one man. Kainim anachnu. We are honest people. Lo hayu avadacha miraglim. We're not spies. But the word they use to prove their pure intentions, or to try to prove their pure intentions to the viceroy, is nachnu. And therefore, Moshe appoints Chatzi Shevet Menasha. And I thought that it was fascinating. When do we hear about Chatzi Shevet Menasha? And I always also tell you this all the time. Context in the Torah is important. Where psukim occur is important. The B'nai Menasha could have been introduced at any point in the narrative. It's only after the use of the word Nachnu that Moshe assigns Chatzi Shevet Menasha ben Yosef. Look in your Chumash. What I'm trying to show you is the time period, the exact moment B'nai Menasha is introduced. Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Lamed Beis, Nachnu Na'avor Chalutzim Lifnei Hashem. Now we know the significance of the word Nachnu. It's an allusion back to what the brother said to the viceroy. And then Moshe says, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Vayiten that Moshe Lifnei God, V'livnei Reuven, V'lachatz Yishevet Menashe Ben Yosef. B'nai Yosef are introduced immediately after the Pasuk that says the word Nachnu. That's very significant. It could have been introduced at the beginning of the story, in the middle of the story, somewhere at the end of the parak. Immediately after the word Nachnu, Moshe says, I understand your kavanos, and the Torah introduces us to Chatzi Shevet Menashe ben Yosef. So what I'm trying to illustrate to you is that nothing in the Torah is an accident. Pasuk placement isn't an accident. Topic placement isn't an accident. The fact that the B'nai Menashe are introduced after the word Nachnu is obviously extremely significant, telling, and very, very important. We are brothers. In 1905, so we're skipping forward a few thousand years, a young Jewish man from Brisk, who was a member of the Bund, which was a Jewish socialist party, threw a bomb at a Russian general in Warsaw. The young man, a Bundist, socialist, Zionist, Bundist, the young man, a Bundist, was apprehended, speedily brought to trial. He was found guilty, sentenced to death by firing squad within 24 hours. News of the verdict reached Rav Chaim Brisker, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, during the Kol Nidre prayer. Rav Chaim Brisker, besides his unbelievable Torah erudition and absolute brilliance in Talmudic study and halacha, the son of the Beis Halevi, Rav Chaim Brisker was known first and foremost for his chesed and ahavas Yisrael. He had an antechamber in his home where poor Jews would sleep. And unwed mothers in Brisk would leave their newborn babies on his doorstep. He once made an enemy because a rich gevir in Brisk came with an exotic fruit platter, which in those days was probably a real find. Not like today where you could get fruit from all over the world whenever you want it. And they gave Rav Chaim a fancy exotic fruit platter for Shlachmanas. And as this rich gevir was leaving, a poor man walked in. Rav Chaim picked up the whole exotic Mishloach Manos basket and he gave it to the poor man. So Rav Salvechik, his grandson, says that his grandfather made an enemy this way. They had to hide his salary from him because he would just give everything away. His Ahavas Achim and Ahavas Amishra, the Rav says, I'm not saying, I can't say such a thing. The Rav says surpassed his brilliance in Torah learning. News of the verdict that this boy was going to be sentenced to death reached Rav Chaim during the Kol Nidre prayer. He immediately stopped the davening. He demanded people go home and return with money for the young man's ransom. I'm talking about Leil Kol Nidre. The guy's off the darach. He shouldn't have thrown the bomb. What's he joining the bun for? He should be sitting in yeshiva and learning Torah. Who told him to become involved with any of these isms? It's the newfangled generation. Let him suffer. Rav Chaim stopped the Kol Nidre davening. He demanded that people go home and return with money for the young man's ransom. Rav Chaim sent his shamish to every shul in Brisk to interrupt the Yom Kippur davening and collect money. The Dayan of Brisk, who Rav Chaim was very, very close to, Rav Simcha Zelig, stood beside Rav Chaim and supported him in his actions. 3,000 rubles were collected. That evening, we're still called Nidre night, after the money was collected, Rav Chaim and Rav Simcha Zelig went with the money to the home of the police commissioner in Brisk. At first, he didn't want the bribe, but after some persuasion, 3,000 rubles sounds pretty good. The next morning, on Yom Kippur, the rabbis accompanied the police commissioner on the train from Brisk to Warsaw. On Yom Kippur morning, the police commissioner testified that he swore that the young man had been with him when the attempted attack and assassination had taken place. There was an alibi, and the young man from Brisk was released. Ha'acheichem yavo la'mechama v'atem teishvu po. V'yigdal Moshe, v'yihi b'yam emehem, v'yigdal Moshe. What's the first thing you know about Moshe? First. V'yetze alachov, v'yar b'siv losam. What's the first thing God says to Moshe? Nahag to bahem minhag achim. And so Moshe cannot even tolerate the idea that Jews would want to separate from their brothers. At what point in the narrative does he acquiesce? It's a lot of negotiation. 32 psukim long is a long story. As soon as they say, Nachnu na'avor chalutzim lefnei Hashem, it's a magic word. Just like pakod pakadati is a magic word. Nachnu is a magic word, because when's the first time you see in Chumash? The only time, apparently, according to the Baal Turim before this, by Yosef and the brothers. Kulanu b'nei ish echad nachnu. We are brothers. So when they use the magic word nachnu to Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, I understand your intentions. You're all brothers. You're not here to divide Am Yisrael, but as an added security, I'm going to add a half a tribe. Which tribe? When was the first time Nachnu was used? By Yosef. Which tribe am I adding? Menashe ben... The Chumash says Menashe ben Yosef. The Chumash doesn't say Chatzu Shem Menashe. Everybody and their mother knows that Menashe is the son of Yosef. And if you don't, you have to go back to Sefer Bereishis and learn it again. And the Torah doesn't waste letters. It doesn't waste words. God doesn't have extra ink or cloth. What does Hashem want to teach you? The minute they say Nachnu, which is the first and only time it was used by Yosef and his brothers to indicate brotherhood, Moshe says, I'm maskim. And who's staying with you? Menasseh ben Yosef. Half of Menasseh, who him and Ephraim were the first to get along, will be misaking the sin of the Bnei Yosef, Yosef, whose brothers hated each other. Kol Nidrei Night. And there's a Jew who's going to be executed, but you can really say it's his fault. He's young, he's a kana, he's hot-headed, anti-Torah, let him suffer. 3,000 rubles. And Rav Chaim Brisker with the dying of Simcha Zelig took the train to Warsaw to save one Jewish man's life, because your brother cannot go to war and you sit in comfort here, which is exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu did. His brothers were in the battlefields, the slave fields of Mitzrayim. How could I sit in the comforts of my palace when my brothers are suffering? So if you look on your sheet, okay, I'll tell you where. The bottom of page one. Kulanu b'nei ish achad nachnu, kenim anachnu lo hayu avadech meraglim. So I have to tell you that there is a, the Bala term is wrong, okay? I use my Sfar when I prepare, but to copy and paste, I use Sefaria for the sources to copy and paste it to make you neat handouts. I realized that it's wrong. Just, I'm going to read you the Bala term, the correct. You could go look up in your Mikros Gedolos at home. Okay? The Bala term to Bereishis, Perak Mem Beis Pasuk Yud Aleph, says as follows. So listen, okay? You could all go look it up. It's in your Mikros Gedolos also. First of all, interestingly, why don't the brothers say Anachnu, which is what we said before, just say Anachnu, not Anachnu. So the Bala term to Bereishis, Mem Beis Yud Aleph, is as follows. Velo amru anachnu. They didn't say anachnu. Remesh achad mehem chaser. What letter is missing? Nachnu is missing an aleph. The brothers were alluding to the fact that one of them is missing. Who's missing? Yosef is missing. V'nachnu pashanu. We sinned. Remember, the third source is nachnu pashanu from Echa. So what the Baal term is doing here, both in Bamidbar Lama base and Bereishis Kmen base, is connecting all these three Nachnus. The one from Yosef and the brothers, the one from Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruved, and the one from Echa, which we're still going to get to. Now the Baal term, so that's why he says there's an Aleph missing, to indicate when there's a brother missing, it's not a Nachnu, one of us is missing, Nachnu. So why do the Shvatim, Gad and Ruven, use Nachnu instead of a Nachnu? They're giving Moshe the secret password. They're referring back to the first Nachnu, so Moshe knows their intentions are brotherhood. So the Baal term says, embraces Mem Beis Al. Okay, it's in my notes here. You could see it handwritten. You could, oh, it's a short Baal term. You could go home and see it inside. I'm going to read it and translate it. Gimel b'masores, ha-ha. You have this word Nachnu three times in Tanakh. Once here. V'idach Nachnu na'avor chalutzim. The next time in Matos, we will go up armed. Nachnu pashanu. And the third time in Echa, we have sinned. If you want, turn your paper over. And at the top of the page, too, you could see the pasuk from Echa. So the Baal term says, Vizeu shadarshu. So this is the drash. What are they saying? Sha'amru. The brothers were saying to the viceroy, Nachnu laharog kol ha'ir banu. We came here to kill the whole city. Imlo yitnu lanu. If they do not give us our brother. At this point, this is the very first time they're meeting the viceroy slash Yosef. They think that they're coming there not only to find food, but to find Yosef. So what they say is, Nachnu laharog kol ha'ir banu. We came to kill the whole city. Imlo yitnu lanu. We are here to kill everyone in the city if they do not give us our brother. V'zehu b'shviyal shanachnu pashanu. Why did this happen to us? We sinned against him. Shanachnu pashanu. The Baal term's connecting the three nachnus. Nachnu banu laharol kol ha'ir. Imlo yichnu lanu. We came to kill the whole city if they do not give him to us. V'zehu b'shviyal shanachnu pashanu. Paraphrasing Echa. This whole disaster has befallen us because we sinned against him. Remember, they sold him when he's 17, and he's 30 at this point. 13 years. This is hanging over their heads. Nachnu pashanu, we have sinned. Therefore, nachnu na'avor chalutzim. I'm still in the Baal term from Bereishis Kmen Beis. We will go up armed, lihilachem, to fight. Im lo yitnu lanu liftoso. if they do not give him to us to redeem him. So the Baal Turim and Perek Mem Beis connects all three Nachnus. What is it? Nachnu Na'avor Chalutzim. We are here to kill the whole city if they don't release our brother. Why did this disaster befall us? Nachnu Pashanu. Because 13 years ago, we sinned against him. And therefore, Nachnu Na'avor Chalutzim, we will all go up armed through the city if they do not release him. Ki Kulanu B'nei Yish Echad Nachnu. We are all, Yosef and us, our missing brother, are all the sons of one father. We have come to find him. So I give thanks to Rabbi Akiva Willig for the beautiful Dvar Torah about Nachnu, and you know my fascination with words in Sharashim and Lashon HaKodesh. So I was very taken when he said, Nachnu appears here, Parshas Matos, and Nachnu is by the brothers. And I just thought it was so amazing. And you see how amazing it really is. And we even understand more deeply this week than last week why Moshe's first reaction was, Ha'achichem. Now let's look at the pasuk from Eicha. I'm at the top of page 2. The third Nachnu is from Eicha, which we will read as a lament and a sorrow and a cry this Motze Shabbos. Nachnu Pashanu Umarinu. We have sinned and rebelled. Atah lo salachta. You have not forgiven us. So we already saw the Baal Turim, who connects it to both cases. One, in Perek Mem Beis of Bereishis, if we do not free Yosef, this whole tragedy befell us because we have sinned, Nachnu Pashanu. And by B'nai God and B'nai Ru'uvein, Nachnu Pashanu, if we don't go up armed, we will have sinned. But now let's look at the actual Pasuk itself. Megillas Eicha Perek Gimel Pasuk Mem Beis. Top of page 2. Nachnu Pashanu Umarinu. Atah lo salachta. What does Rashi have to say? Nachnu pashanu umarinu. Zed darkeinu al yadei yetzer hara. What do you want from me, God? You created me. Man, if you look in Bereishis, was created with two yods. By Yitzhar Hashem Elokim es ha'adam. Perek Beis Pasuk Zayin is two yods. When the animals are created, they have one yod. Why do we have two yods and they get one? They have one instinct, one drive. The butterfly doesn't think before it migrates, and the salmons don't think before they go back upstream. My gosh, there are bears. Maybe we should really not go back to our spawning grounds. No, they have to go, so they go. Some of them get eaten, some of them make it through. They have one yod. But when man is created, Vayitzar Shem Kimasa Adam, Afra Min Adama, he's created with two yods. Why two yodin? We have a Yetzar Tov, and we have a Yetzar Hara. Nachnu Pashanu Marinu. What do you want from us? Zed Darkeinu? Ayadei Yitzhara? That's the way of man. The way of man is that we sin and rebel because we have an evil inclination. Atah lo salachta. But Hashem, Ulecha haya na'a haslicha. Ki kein darkecha. It would have been very nice for you, God, to forgive us because that's your way. Our way is, Ayadei Yitzhara. But your way is, Slicha mechila. But atah lo salachta, says Eicha, says Yerushalayim, says Tzion, says Knesset Yisrael. Why didn't you forgive us? Ulecha haya na'ar haslicha. It would have been very pleasant. It would have been very nice if you would have granted us slicha u'mechila. Ki kein darkecha. That's your way. And that's the third Nachnu. So the brothers, all three Nachnu is, Kulanu b'nei ish echad Nachnu. Why no Aleph? One is missing. Nachnu. Nachnu na'avor chalutzim, we're going to go through this city of ancient Egypt. We're going to kill everybody if you don't return our brother. Why did this disaster befall us? Because 13 years ago, Nachnu Pashanu, we sinned against our brother. When the B'nai God and B'nai Reuven use the magic word, Nachnu na'avor chalutzim, the negotiations are over. That's all Moshe wanted to hear. Ah, Vayite no Moshe, Livnei God, Vilivnei Ruvain, Vilachatzi Sheva Menashe, Ben Yosef. When he hears Nachnu, it's over. What does Nachnu mean in Paraklam at Beis of Bamidbar, says the Baal Turim? Nachnu Navor Chalutzim, we're going to go cross. Why? Ki Kulanu B'nei Ish Achad Nachnu, we understand we're all the brothers. And if we don't go cross, Now, if we don't cross, then nachnu pashanu, we will be held accountable for our sin. Mamish gevaldik. One word. One word. One word. One word. I taught earlier, you were in class, earlier this week, a mashal from Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Bregman in a short and sweet on the parsha. He says, the depth of Torah is that it's as vast as the sea. Let's say you try to drink up the Atlantic Ocean, assuming you could actually drink up the Atlantic Ocean. For 1 month, every day, you drank 30 glasses of water. What would it be at the end of the month? The Atlantic Sea would be full of water. It wouldn't even look like you made a dent. You would say, I've been drinking so much water. 38-ounce glasses of water every single day. How is the sea still full? That's what the depth of Torah is. One word. Two words. Ha'achechem. This whole shiur is based on two words. Ha'achechem and nachnu. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And I always try and stress that that's why when there's kofrim chas v'shalom, non-believers, no one here, who says a person wrote the Torah. There are people who say such a thing. Like, it's not possible. Who could think of such things? What mortal man could put this all together? Let's look at Medrash Eicha Rabba, Psichta, Chaf Dalet. Sha'emra Knesset Yisrael, Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sha'emra Knesset Yisrael, Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no, I'm sorry. Knesset Yisrael, said before God. Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the World. Zechura ani bitachon v'sha'anan v'shalva. Shahayisi shruabo. You know what I remember, Hashem? I remember the security. I remember the tranquility. I remember the peace and quiet that I used to have before Churban. It was so peaceful. I was secure. V'achshav nisrachik mimeni. And now with Churban, there's so much turbulence. That shalva, that bitachon, that sha'anan, it's all gone. V'ani bochia, I'm crying. Umis anachas, what is mis anachas? V'ya anachu b'nei Yisrael min ha'avoda. Perek beis pasuch of dar of Shemos. Ayhi bayamim ha'rabim ha'hem v'yamas melech Mitzrayim. Lo meis nitzdara. They groaned. Oh, Miss Anachas, I'm groaning. I just was telling my girls, the girls last night who I learned with, Risa Chozrope Teshuvah. So besides for our learning, I taught them tools to trying to understand words. If you come to a word you don't know, before you run to look at the English, try and remember what you see the Shoresh earlier, where you know from, and it could help you identify a word without running to the English. Ani bochi, I'm crying. Umit anachas, I'm groaning. Va'omeres, mi yisimeni kashanim harishonim. What? B'nai Yisrael is crying, and B'nai Yisrael is groaning. And B'nai Yisrael is saying, who will place for me? Like the earlier years, Shahaya Mikdash Banui, when the Beis Mikdash was built. Why is the Beis Mikdash destroyed? Nachnu pashanu umarinu. Va'atalo salachta. Why is the temple in ruins? Because nachnu, we have... Oh, I just thought of something. I wasn't trying to be funny. I just thought of something. Maybe that we explained why nachnu, the Baal Turim explains why the Aleph is missing from the nachnu in Bereishis 40:12, 42:11. Kulanu b'nei ish achad nachnu. Because what they're saying is, Yosef is not here. One is missing. We explain why they use the word nachnu in Bamidbar 32:32, because they're alluding to the magic word. Perhaps t'n'echa, why nachnu? Because the aleph of the achdus of Hashem is missing. Shema Yisrael Hashem HaKadosh Hashem Echad. What causes us to sin and rebel? If the Ribbono Shel Olam, if we don't perceive God in our lives, if we're not aware of the achdus of Hashem, the achad, the oneness, then we sin. So nachnu pashinu umaridu. What leads us to sin and rebel? The absence of Hashem Echad. So perhaps the Anachnu is not Anachnu in Echa, it's Nachnu to teach us that when we are not aware, Shuvisi Hashem Linegdi Shamid, Kimini Bal Emo, when I take the Echad of Hashem and it's not the forefront of my mind, at least Nitaka to sin, So Knesset Yisrael says, "Mi simeni kanashim kashanim harishonim." Who will make for us like the first years? Shahaya mikdash banui, when the temple was built. Uvishacha ato yore shmei maram, and you would come down from the highest heights of heaven. Umishara shchinascha alai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Knesset Yisrael, you used to dwell amongst us and within us. Your Shechina was upon us. V'umas ha'olam mekalsin osi. The nations of the world used to laud and praise us. That was before Churban, before Galus. U'kisha ha'yisi mivakeshas rachamim al avonai. And when I would, I'm at the bottom line of the, I'm on page 2. Medrash Eicha Rabbah. The bottom line of the first paragraph. V'kishayisi mivakeshes rachamim al avonai, when the temple stood, when the Ribbono Shel Olam dwelled amongst us, when I would beg for mercy over my sins, ata one osi, you would answer me. There were karbanos, there was an asham, vadai, v'salui, there was a nidava, there was a chatas, and I would have a kapara. V'achshav ani kibusha uchlima, bivusha uchlima. Now I am filled with embarrassment and shame. Va'od amra lefanav. And furthermore, Knesset Yisrael continues, paragraph 2. Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the World, Shemama alai nafshi, kishani overas al beisacha. My soul is barren within me, desolate. My nefesh is desolate within me when I pass by your house. V'hu charav, v'kol demama besocha. Your temple is destroyed, but I hear a thin, still sound within it. And what is that thin, still sound emanating from the Makom HaMikdash saying? Makom Shezaro Sha'Avram Mikrivu Karban Lefanecha? The very place where the seed of Avram brought Korbanos before you? V'Kohanim Omdim Al HaDuchan? And the Kohanim would stand to serve on the platform. V'Halavim Mekalsim B'Kinoros? And the Levium would praise with their harps. The Levium would sing. The Kohanim would do the Avoda. The B'nai Yisrael would bring the Karbanos. Yihiyu Shu'alim Miraktimbo. Foxes are dancing there. Prowling there. Worshipping there. Throwing rocks and rioting from there. And I hear this thin, still sound. This was the place where the children of Aaron would be makriv their karbanos. The Kohan would be on the duchen. The Levim would be singing, b'shiram v'zimram. Yihiyu shu'alim miraktim bo. And now foxes are dancing here. Hadahu dechtiv, like the Pasuk says in Eicha, al har tzion sheshameim shu'alim hilchu bo. Mount Zion lays desolate. Foxes walk there. What should I do? Sha'avonosai garmuli. That's a reference back to our pasuk from Eicha. My sins caused this. What do we say in the pasuk in Eicha? Nachnu pashanu marinu. We admit that this has happened to us because we have sinned. We have rebelled. Avonosai garmuli. Nachnu pashanu. Bring water. Moral of the story. Ubinivie hashaker shahayu besochi. And the false prophets that were in my midst turned me away from the proper path. They persuaded me to go on the path of death instead of the path of life. Lekach ne'amar, that's why the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Eila ezkara v'ashbacha alai nafshi. When I remember these things, it's like my soul is spilling out. I have to leave exactly at 10:30 like last week. Please don't come over to me. It's nothing personal. I have a class exactly at 10:45 on Zoom. I must go home immediately after this. This is three very important things. Could someone please put the Seamus in the Seamus box? The girls who did it last week are not here. It's right outside the office. Two, I'm sorry to interrupt the beauty of the Divrei Torah, but many people were not here in the beginning. I'm speaking at 1 o'clock. On Sunday, Tisha B'Av observed in the main sanctuary, brand new shiur for men and women, followed by Rabbi Shai Shachter at 2 o'clock, also for men and women, starting 1 o'clock, Sunday afternoon. 3, there is no shiur next week, Thursday, August the 11th. Please don't come. I'm not teaching next Thursday, but there is Shir Be'ezer Hashem the Thursday after that. Please share two announcements with your friends. Tzadikas. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Nehiya B'dvaro. Thank you. Thank you. At the time when God desired to destroy the temple, he said, as long as I'm in the temple, the Umas Olam can't touch it. If anyone was in my shir last night, Shari, we learned about Hester Panim. This relates exactly to what we learned last night. While I'm here, says God, while I'm watching, the Umas Olam can't touch it. So what am I going to do? I'm going to capture my eyes from it. I'm going to look away. Hester Panim. My face is hidden. I'm not looking. And then what could happen? The enemy's going to come. The Eshavasha lo ezakek lo ad es haketsk. I take an oath, says God. I will not be involved with this temple anymore until the Kates, until the end, until Yemosa Mashiach. When God looks away, when he closes his eyes, echbosh esenai, the enemy will come and destroy it. Miyad nishba kosh baruchu biyamino v'achziru acharav. God took an oath with his right hand and he put it behind him, so to speak. Like the pasuk says in Echa, hey shiv achar yamino mipnei oyev. God took an oath with his right hand and then he took that oath and he locked it up. And he said, I'm not watching. And when God is not watching, Rachman al-Itzlan, the enemy has free reign. Amar lena kosh baruchu l'malachai asharis. Kosh baruchu said to the angels, I have to finish. Ba'u v'neilech, I'm meaning, usually I go over, today I can't go over and I gotta get through this. Ba'u v'neilech haniva atem. Let's go see. V'nira b'vesi. Me'asui oivimbo. Let's go take a look and see what the enemies have done. Miyad halacha kodesh baruch hu malachai asharis v'ir miyal lefanav. The prophet of destruction. And God and the angels went. V'kevan shara kodesh baruch hu es mikdash amar. When God saw what had happened. Remember, why did it happen? Because God said, I'm closing my eyes. Haster panim, I'm concealing my face. They could do whatever they want. Amar bivadai zehu besi vizemu nach minuchasi. I see, said God, this is my house. This was my place of rest. Shabo oivim v'asu bo kirtzonam. The enemies entered and they did whatever they wanted. But also shah hayakosh baruch hu boche. At that time, God was crying. Va'omer, oili al besi, woe unto me over my home. Banai heichan atem. God is saying, my children, where are you? He's crying. Kohanai heichan atem. My kohanim, where are you? O Havai, heichan atem. My beloved, where are you? We're crying and God's crying. Ma'aselachem. What should I do? I warned you. Remember, he's with your meow. I sent the Nevi'im. You did not repent in Teshuvah. I was thinking, Churban is a contraction of the word, of the two words, of Churban is a contraction. Chaver, the first two that I spell Chaver, and then Nun. The Churban happened as a result of us forgetting Yuma, Tesh, Amad Beis, and Eschinam. The Churban happened as a result of us forgetting that we are all friends. Churban, scramble the first three letters or unscramble them. It spells Chaver with a Nun. Chaverim Nachnu. The Churban happened because we forgot Chaverim Nachnu. We mixed up Chaverim Nachnu. We forgot our priorities. We forgot that you cannot sit in comfort and let your brother suffer. We forgot that sinas chinam never leads to good. We forgot kulanu b'nei ish echad nachnu. Nachnu na'avor chalutzim b'fnei Hashem. And therefore, nachnu pashanu marinu v'ata lo salachta. And so, if we forget chaver nun, chaverib nachnu, we are left with churban. Only when we unscramble Churban, and make it once again, Chaverim Nachnu. Reverse the process. Be'ezras Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam will stop crying. And when he says to my children, where are you? My Kohanim, where are you? My beloved, where are you? We will be able to say, here we are. So Be'ezer Hashem, we should be zocher that this should be the last Tisha B'Av, the last 9 days. I wish everybody a very special and uplifting Shabbos. I hope to see you at 1 o'clock on Sunday for a special Tisha B'Av Shir.